From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Dew of Heaven. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. His heavens shall drop down dew. What the dew in the east is to the world of nature, that is the influence of the Spirit in the realm of grace. How greatly do I need it! Without the Spirit of God, I am a dry and withered thing. I droop, I fade, I die. How sweetly does this dew refresh me! When once favored with it, I feel happy, lively, vigorous, elevated. I want nothing more. The Holy Spirit brings me life and all that life requires. All else without the dew of the Spirit is less than nothing to me. I hear, I read, I pray, I sing, I go to the table of communion, and I find no blessing there, until the Holy Ghost visits me. But when He bedews me, every means of grace is sweet and profitable. What a promise is this for me! His heavens shall drop down dew. I shall be visited with grace. I shall not be left to my natural drought, or to the world's burning heat, or to the sirocco of satanic temptation. Oh, that I may at this very hour feel the gentle, silent, saturating dew of the Lord! Why should I not? He who has made me to live as the grass lives in the meadow will treat me as He treats the grass. He will refresh me from above. Grass cannot call for dew as I do. Surely the Lord who visits the unpraying plant will answer to His pleading child.
Oh,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email, or by regular mail, or by telephone. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may phone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Revelation and Rejection of Christ at Nazareth. In his first visit to Nazareth, his hometown, Christ revealed himself as the one who would fulfill Isaiah's words in chapter 61 of his prophecy, the one promised by God who would bring in the acceptable year of the Lord, in other words, the day of salvation. Yet, because he refused to gratify the Nazarenes' demand for a miracle, they tried to kill him. They despised his person and rejected his claims. This reflects the pattern of all who reject Christ. They deny his grace and insist on their own way of salvation. But religion without Christ is useless. Those who would be saved must come on God's terms. He will save all those who come to him humbly, confessing their sins and embracing him as Savior and Lord. Now Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of this message, The Revelation and Rejection of Christ at Nazareth.
Willie McCone went as a pioneer missionary to what is called the Green Hell, the Acre region of Brazil. And I remember him telling how he went into an interior settlement, first man ever to be there with the gospel. And as he started to give the gospel, people flocked, and they flocked to Christ. But one old woman came with tears running down her face and embraced Christ. And she said, "I have waited for years for someone to come and tell us." I knew that there had to be a message of the God of love. She had never heard it. She had never heard it. But there she was, waiting for the first opportunity to hear and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And she did. Missionaries have told us again and again of going into those interior towns and villages, and whatever the opposition, yet to find a people who were ready. Now, don't run away with any idealistic notion of the good heathen, the noble heathen who are all just so much morally better than we are and are all ready to be saints. There's just as much wickedness there. But God is going through the dark places of the earth. And in His sovereign grace, He's saving His Naamans and His Zidonian widows. And people may not like the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, but this is what Jesus revealed. I think it's interesting here that He also revealed His ultimate purpose. Because here, the ones that He brings in are not just great sinners, but they're Gentiles. And though the Jews couldn't see it or receive it, the Lord Jesus on this occasion was making it clear that He was presenting Himself as the Savior of the world. Anticipating Paul's great statement in Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's the ultimate. To reach out to the world and to bring it to Jesus Christ. That's His ultimate purpose. And in revealing that purpose, He then showed His ultimate power and authority, His unconquerable authority. How does He do this? Well, notice clearly, the Nazarenes sought to slay Him, and they couldn't. It wasn't because they didn't want to. It wasn't because the means weren't readily available. I've said the steep face was there. Falling 70 or 100 feet there would be a fatal fall. The means were there, the desire was there, the crowd was there. Yet they couldn't do it. Now, it could have been because of a miracle. We're not told. It could simply have been the exercise of the moral superiority of Christ. It could simply have been by a look. I don't know. But I do know that by His sheer personal authority, the Lord Jesus, He made a way through them just as surely as God made a way through the Red Sea for the children of Israel. He just made a way through. I like to think of the power of Christ, the authority of Christ there. We get so wrapped up with the thought of the bigness of man, the power of the world. We get so overwhelmed at the thought of the forces that are against us. Listen, it only takes a look. I'm not even told here that the Lord Jesus raised a finger, said a word. I don't know, but I do know that possibly with no more than a glance, He quieted them and He made a way through. Oh, that we could get a sight of Christ this morning. Christ the Savior, Christ the Anointed, Christ who can bring the glad tidings to the poor, Christ who can heal the broken heart, Christ who can give recovering of sight to blind eyes. Christ who can set at liberty the captives and the oppressed. Christ who can bring you into acceptance with God to live in the favor of His grace. This is the revelation that Jesus gave of Himself. I have just a moment to deal with the rejection that He suffered at Nazareth. When you think of all that I've said, this is what they willfully rejected. And this is a classic example of all Christ's rejection. I'm not going to follow these points through, but think of them. Christ's rejection means they despised His person. He said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Anointed. I am God's Anointed One. God has poured out His Spirit upon me. God has spoken from heaven. But they despised His person. They said, give us a miracle. Give us a sign. But we don't want your person. They rejected His claims. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. They rejected His claims. And they denied His grace. Were there no poor, brokenhearted, blind, oppressed captives there in Nazareth? Surely there were. And yet there they were with the crowd, and they were denying the very grace that only could save them. That's the heart of Christ's rejection. I want this. I want that. I want the other thing. I set this stipulation in God. I put the other stipulation in God. Whereas the reality is, they deny God's grace in Christ. They despise His person, reject His claims, deny His grace. And that's the high road to hell. Got to ask yourself, why on earth would they do it? Why would they do it? Spurgeon might have been right when he thought that perhaps they did not really accept his portrayal of their true condition. They didn't want to think of themselves as poor, blind, captives of sin. One of the great reasons why people don't receive the Lord Jesus is because they don't accept their true condition. I think that they were certainly resentful of His lowly condition in life. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is he not one of that poor and ordinary family? Now the Jews certainly ought not to have been thinking in those terms. The Jews were well used to God taking the poor and the obscure and making them great. Was not Amos a mere herdsman, neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet? Was not David an obscure shepherd boy? And yet God made him into Israel's great king. The Jews knew better. But the fact is that they despised the Lord Jesus. They wanted a Christ of their own making, a Savior, but not the kind of Savior that the Lord Jesus was. They wanted grace, but not sovereign grace. They wanted God to work on the terms that they were laying down. They were not willing to accept Jesus Christ on the terms that God was setting forth to them in the gospel. And I want to tell you, that is the heart of Christ's rejection. What is it to receive Christ? It is to take Him for what He is, who He is. It is to take Him on the terms that are laid down in the gospel. It is to set aside the sovereignty, the boasted, non-existent sovereignty of human will, and to embrace the absolute sovereignty of the divine will. It is to take Him. Now the awful thing is, if you had gone to these Nazarenes that next Sabbath, you'd have found them all in the synagogue. You'd have found them saying the prayers. I was reading some of those prayers that were prayed anciently in the synagogue. I was reading them this morning just in preparation for coming to this place. Some beautiful prayers. They were praying them. Some words of mighty praise and worship to Jehovah. They were doing that too. They were reading the law. They were reading the prophets. The next Sabbath, they were back in that synagogue in the professed worship of Jehovah. But they had rejected his son. They were still saying, we're looking for God to come and intervene. We're crying to God for mercy. We're crying to God for grace. We're crying to God for a saving deliverance. But they rejected his son. Men and women, let me tell you, the way of holiness is as plain and simple. Isaiah tells us that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. There's nothing particularly difficult in understanding what the Lord Jesus said in Nazareth that day. What part of this could they or could you not understand? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What part of that can you not understand? I am the Lord's anointed. This is what I do for souls. But they rejected him. John tells us, not just of this occasion, but it's certainly applicable to it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the rejection. But thank God, he goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today and bring every last man, woman, and child among us out of a crass, proud, sinful rejection of Christ to bow before him and to own him, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless now the word and those who have heard it. See if men and women and boys and girls hear from the folly of the Nazarenes in flying in the face of God, despising thy son, rejecting his claims and denying his grace. Lord, see if men and women and boys and girls from rejecting the Lord Jesus, hiding behind a cloak of religion of so much that they believe and so much that they're praying for and looking for, but all the time rejecting Christ. God, have mercy on sinners, we pray. And God, grant that this day there will be that gracious ministry of the Savior, opening eyes, liberating hearts and souls, and bringing the lost to Christ. Give us who are saved the grace to go out as witnesses for the Savior. Thou didst anoint him to preach the glad tidings. Lord, thou hast told us through Paul that we also are anointed in Christ. And we pray that thou wilt give us grace to be faithful witnesses of those glad tidings, to preach Christ to the nations. Part us now with thy blessing and keep us in thy fear, and be the abiding portion of thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath day and evermore. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.